I'm Kristen Shelvin, and this is the Mostly Mom Podcast. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. I think normal, ordinary moms have good, meaningful stories and histories, but they don't always get to share them. I'm taking some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joy and the sorrow, what we're facing in our current season of motherhood, and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired by these conversations. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening in these past chunk of weeks for season one of the Mostly Mom Podcast. Episode 13 with Christy is my last interview. For those that don't know, I actually recorded all these interviews last fall, and it didn't really come through during most of the other episodes, but it does with Christy's when we talk about family birthdays at Christmas. We'll do things a little different for season two, but more about that later. Next week, I have a very special Mother's Day episode to share with you all. Make sure you don't miss it. A big thank you to our sponsors, Emerge School, and Refill. For now, please welcome Christy. All right, Christy, it's so good to hear from you. It's good to see your face.
Yes, you too.
You're too many miles away.
I know. And we could totally road trip and meet in the middle with all of our kids, but life.
I know. What's in the middle? Like Iowa?
Oh, like not fun places to go.
Nebraska?
I mean, I'm sorry, the Midwest.
We love you, Midwest people.
Chicago.
Chicago would be fun. Can you imagine our six kids and the four of us in Chicago?
Oh my gosh. We could make the oldest just watch everybody make, listen, we need to catch up.
Yeah, those two, Emmett and Lucy, they could run a small company probably.
Firstborns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're fellow firstborns too, so.
Uh-huh. Firstborn yeah. Girl.
Kindred spirits.
We've always connected on that a lot. Like, I feel like that's been a very common theme with how we have connected, and we became parents kind of close to the same time.
Yeah, we did.
We may have set a table with our toddler firstborns and put a rose in between them.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have pictures in case anything ever happened down the road.
The two J kids are maybe future betrothed already. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. I'm down with any child of yours.
Basically, I just want to pick all of my kids' spouses based on them being my friends' kids so that we can have grandkids together. And
it's completely appropriate.
Anyway, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you said yes to doing this. It's going to be great to visit with you and hear from you.
Yes. Yeah.
I just want to start where I started every session, every sit down. And I would love for you to share your story.
Sure.
Whatever that means and looks like for you.
I'm in my early 40s and I was born in Connecticut. My dad always taught in like private Christian education. And so I spent most of my childhood, he actually moved to a boarding school on Long Island. And so it was a really kind of weird, cool community to grow up in. We all like, all the faculty, we all had houses on the campus. And so like, we just grew up running out the back door onto this big boarding school campus. And like, my mom would like, call us when you end up at a friend's house. And we had dinner every single night in the dining hall with like our family of five and then five random students assigned to our table, which now to me feels like, I don't know how they did that. Like trying to imagine my kids every night sitting still for like an hour long dinner while engaging with random teenagers seems insane to me. But as a kid, it was totally normal. I met my husband, who is childhood and college best friends with your husband. Mm-hmm. The boarding school would turn the campus over the summer into a summer camp. And so through like four or five different people, Sam, my husband, got invited to come be a camp counselor at the camp. Mm-hmm. And he was so cute, but he was kind of tough. Like his hair was dyed black. And I was like, ooh, who's this rebel from the West? Anyway, we met around that time when we were in college, but didn't start dating until after he came back the summer after we both graduated college. And it was right timing and all that. But Sam really felt called at that point to move to Denver. Like he just was like, I really feel like I'm supposed to work with, he's a teacher, he was a teacher. He's like, I really feel like I'm supposed to work with the inner city kids in Denver. And so we were just dating, but I was like, I think you're worth following. So I moved to Denver. It's so crazy because we've been gone for Denver for a while now, but we lived in Denver for 12 years. Really cool, formative, like our 20s and into our 30s. We were part of a really cool church called Scum of the Earth there. And it was a ton of like people all the same age as us. And so we just had such a rich community and we were all like in our 20s. And so everybody was just doing stuff all the time. So Sam loved it. Like if he wanted to go to a show, he could go to a show. We would have friends like, oh, I work at this restaurant now. Come here. It was a really cool, vibrant life there. We had our first son, Emmett, there. We had our first and second sons there. And then when Jonah was like a year and a half, it was very odd. My grandparents lived in Pittsburgh, and whenever we would come out to visit, we were always like, Pittsburgh's a really cool city. Like Pittsburgh's really cool. And we have a weird situation. We're here now. But my grandparents lived in this huge two-story farmhouse on 7 acres of land on what used to be the big family homestead and farm. And they had sold off all the like most of the farmland to the town. But around that time, my grandmother, her sister had been living in the house with her. Her sister passed away, and the family was like, hey, anybody in the family, it would be amazing if you wanted to uproot your lives and move to Pittsburgh. And it kind of made sense. Like we were kind of the only, my mom and her siblings were settled around the country. I'm the oldest of 12 grandkids. Everybody else was like still doing college, all over the place. And for us, it just was like, I think we should do this. I think we should do this. And the odd thing that came in hand with that is that randomly on the property, there's been a miniature golf course that's been in my family for since, let's see, since 1942, when it was built by my great great uncle. And nobody had been running it for 5 years. So the family was like, if you want to come and reopen it and try to see if that can be like your livelihood. And we're like, let's do it. So now we've been in Pittsburgh for 8.5 years. We, of course, got surprise pregnant right as we decided to move out here, and we're like, oh, that's great. No, it was it, now it, it's great. But yeah, so now we are 8.5 years into life right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We own a golf course. We've expanded the building and expanded the business into offering like homemade cookie ice cream sandwiches, and it's a big staple in our community. And all of our kids are school age now, and we just keep getting closer and closer and making bigger community connections as they all do school and sports and all the kids stuff. So it's,
So how, remind me how old everybody is right now.
they are all, we not intentionally had all three of our kids around Christmas. So everybody is about to turn, let's see, 14, 10, and 8 within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
It's like party town at your house right now.
Gosh, it is.
And it's winter, so there's no
Mini golf. There's no ice cream sandwiches white right now.
No.
What does the winter season look like for you and Sam?
It looks great. No, it's I've been trying to embrace, this is our third year with Oliver, our youngest, being in school. He just started second grade. And so I feel like each, like our business closes in mid-October, the kids are in school. And so I'm, each year I feel like I learn a little bit and get a little bit better about like, it is good to have seasons of rest, and it is good to have a life with margin. And so, yeah, so it feels really nice. Like, I feel like I have more capacity and I'm a better mom. Like, the kids come home from school and I'm like, oh my gosh, hi, how are you? Like, I just, there's more capacity. I'm able to help out more with the kids' school. Sam kind of helps out more with church stuff. We kind of take on, like, the property is awesome. My parents now live upstairs in the house, but they're in their, late 60s, early 70s. So there's always a lot of, like, property kind of caretaker things we need to do. And then we'll almost always do big repairs on the golf course too. But it's a nice season, really nice season.
Because mini golf is about 6 months, is that right? And I would imagine it's all hands on deck, all the kids are running around helping with things, long days. Is that right?
Yeah, it's we're fortunate that we have teenage employees working most of, like, the hours, but as our business each year, we keep having our best year yet, and it's
Oh,
great.
great.
There's so much back end, and then we bake the cookies for our ice cream sandwich business. Well, I do, and then I have a couple employees who help out. But I think we did the math, and we baked over 13,000 cookies this summer. So
13,000 cookies. Okay, like
yes.
that's 1,000, that's like 2,000 a month, right?
Whoa, that's a lot.
So it's, I'm like, whenever we shut down the business, I'm like, why do I feel so at peace? Oh, because yeah, there's just a lot of, it's really wonderful, and every day it's different, but it's just a lot. And something's always breaking, somebody needs something, it's just, there's parties planning and teenagers that we're managing, which is unique.
Well, and what I love about you, Christy, is you are so good at, you use food to connect people, right? And you're good at creating community with whoever's in your world at that moment. And so I would imagine all those teenagers feel really cared for and loved with
Thank you.
you as their employer. And I would imagine that your community feels real, your broader community of Pittsburgh feels really loved and cared for.
Thank you.
Just with all those cookies that you hand over.
Thank you. We do. We do. I really, that was something I didn't anticipate moving here, but the business in of itself, because it's been in this little community for so long. I mean, almost any time I'm out there, someone comes and is like, I used to come here as a little kid after I would play t-ball across the street, and back then candy bars were 10 cents. And then they'll tell me stories of my great grandmother working there
Oh.
over the summers, and I only knew her when she was pretty far gone with dementia. And so they'll, like, people will tell me stories about, oh, your great grandmother was so sweet, and she would always tell me that I should try a chocolate pop. And, I mean, just cute stories. And I feel like but anyway, so yeah, it is a really special thing. And our business is not, sometimes we'll go to, like, a big box business, or, like, in the more touristy part of Pittsburgh, there's these cool big, like, I mean, it's like 20, $25 to play around, but it's like these hip mini golf slash bars that, like, young professionals can go to. And I'm like, well, those are cool. That is not our business, and our business does not have to be that. Like, I always want our business to be accessible. I want kids to be able to, like, come with some change and get a treat and play golf, and so.
I love that. And I love that you get to carry on what your great grandma started. That's really special and sweet. I want to back up, and because I know some things about you that our audience might not know about you. And there's kind of three things that I have wanted you to talk about. Because I just love how, again, like how much food and community and the table have been a part of your life. And we're both foodies. And so when the four of us get together, it's like, where are we going to eat next? I want to hear about your pantry busting. And I want to hear about the little cooking show that you did way back when, or competition, not cooking show, but competition. Talk about that for a minute.
Okay, that was When my son Emmett, I think when I was first a, like I worked part-time, but like a stay-at-home mom, I think that was when I really felt some, well, I mean, I had an easy firstborn, but I think I was like, I have some space and margin. Like, I love cooking. What do I do with that? And that was in the days where blogs were really cool. Maybe not really cool, but we're in. And so I realized that, like, hey, he's having a nap. I wonder if, like, while I cook dinner, I can take pictures and then just post them on my blog spot. So, yeah, that was a fun way for me to kind of document. But I think that at that point, I kind of realized that how I like to cook is I called it pantry busting, but I enjoy, and it's a fun, like, I think challenge for me to see what I have, be creative, taste as I go, adapt. Yeah, and I try to do that now, but there are three of them, and one of them is very obnoxiously picky, and so I'm like, and life's just fuller than when I was a mostly stay-at-home mom with one easy little kid. You know, there's crazy kid schedules and sports schedules, so now I think I'm more regimented, and if I have margin in my life, it's more like grocery planning and meal planning and, you know, all that stuff. But I still like my creative soul. I'm so happy if I can like just like, ooh, I'm gonna try something totally different, or if I get inspired. Yeah. So it's that still is where like I love that is my outlet.
And you had a competition, right, that you hosted for a long time too.
I did. There were two competitions back in Denver, and I forget how I saw them, but they were called like, ex what was it? Like extreme takeovers.
Oh
And
yeah.
basically, they would have like a sponsored, like the first one was sponsored by avocados from Mexico. And so they would give you like a huge amount of the main ingredient, and then you would buy the stuff, and then you would just make whatever you wanted that showcased the ingredient. And I think you would make enough for like 100, and then people would pay to come to the event, and they would each tape a sample. But yeah, I won. I think I was like the People's Choice in avocado, and then the second
Yeah.
one was the bacon one, and
Oh,
I
that's
won the
right.
bacon one. But the prize was a year's supply of bacon, and I was like, what am I going to what am I gonna do? This is insane. But it was so fun. It was really, really fun.
Well, and the thing that I and this is kind of my goal with this whole podcast, right, is to create this reality of there's seasons in being a mom,
Yes.
right? There's seasons when you get to stay home and snuggle the baby and make these amazing dinners. And then there's a season where you might be running a small business with three teenagers and it's tater tot casserole on Thursday night, and that's
Sure
okay.
is. It
And
sure
then
is.
later, it all comes back around and you can host the amazing meal someday and you'll have a different kind of margin someday. And that there's goodness and beauty in all of those seasons. There's
Absolutely. And I
such,
think
yeah.
I can get stuck, or I have gotten, especially when our youngest Oliver, when it first started becoming obvious that he was so picky, I feel like there were numerous times that I said, it's like he's crushing my creative soul, which is not fair. But
But he kind of was, so it's okay.
and when I bring food to the table and you say, what's that disgusting smell? That hurts my feelings. But I think I've grown to like, I mean, mealtimes regrettably have changed and been like maybe simplified in certain ways, so that like there's more components available, and so he can choose things a bit. But this has been so fun. We started this in Denver, and then in the past couple years have revived it with our Pittsburgh community. But now the big food outlet is we have a quarterly dinner club with friends, and we all take turns. One person gets like, we draw names out of a hat. So one person is the master of ceremonies, and they come up with a theme for the night, and then there are two competing chefs. And so
Oh.
then the dinner party that night is, and somehow in Pittsburgh, I don't know if I have a different group of friends here, but it's become a costumed event. And so whatever the theme is, Yeah, whatever the theme is, you come dressed in the theme. So, but then it's like the times that I have been the chef, I adore it. I'm like, someone give me a weird Iron Chef challenge. I'm so excited. So yeah, that's been the weird outlet now, so that I can still do fun food apart from a kid who thinks my food smells disgusting.
So I have a new friend that I've met just in the last like chunk of years, and she reminds me a lot of you in this love for food and like let's put a party together. And so we're doing a solstice get together next Saturday night. We're recording a couple weeks before Christmas, right? And so I'm so excited and she's so excited and we've been texting, what would this be like? What would this be like? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's just fun to have a theme. It's fun to step out of the ordinary
Yes.
and plan the thing and just do it. It's
Yes.
so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the one thing I wanted to talk about was your foodie background. And then you mentioned this just real briefly with your story, but you part of the reason you moved back to Pittsburgh was to move into this house that has been in your family for decades. And in the process, you were also taking care of Mima, right?
So yes, that was one of the original big reasons that I think contributed to us feeling called to be here was my grandmother was living in this house, and it's a big, like, it's basically like a 3 or 4 bedroom home on each floor. She was living here completely alone and on like 7 acres of land, and was really, I mean, it was sad, but it was really God's timing, because like a month or two after we moved here, well, when we first moved here, we kind of realized, like, oh, she maybe was not telling people that she was not as capable. Like, it would take her like 2 hours to write a check, because, and we soon found out that she really shouldn't be driving. But then she truly, within the first 9 months of us living here, she, had multiple falls and illnesses. And then it ended up a year after we moved here, after so many of those, she had a it was one of the falls, had a traumatic brain injury, and needed to have a live-in caregiver. So, which was great. She had planned financially for any situation, but there was a wonderful caregiver named Madge who lived with us. But it was, I had like a newborn and a toddler, and there was a grandmother with dementia upstairs and a wild Jamaican caregiver who needed my help sometimes with my grandma. And I was opening a business. And anyway, so then my grandmother, she passed from a stroke 4, no, almost 5, almost exactly 5 years ago. And so then after the fact, it was right as COVID, she passed 2 months before COVID started. But my parents were able to, the following year, they retired from up in from down in Nashville, and they moved in, and we fixed up the top floor of the house for them. And so now it's a nice season of having parents nearby who grandkids can just run up and see them, or we can, if I forget last minute, like, hey, we actually need to go out to this. Like, the kids will be downstairs. Can you just keep an ear out for them? Like, great.
So in that season of taking care of your grandmother, you've got little people, you're starting a business. That feels crazy. What's your wisdom? What's the advice on, somebody else in those same circumstances? Like, how do you get through it? How do you manage all the things? What takes priority? What do you say yes to and no to? What's
Yeah.
that whole decision
I
process?
truly, I think part of the releasing I had to do with that, because firstborn daughters, as you know, I think I carried with me a lot of expectations and people pleasing, like, oh, I'm the only nearby family member. I should be visiting her every single day. That would really help her. I should be doing this and this. And I think just out of necessity, I had to drop a lot of the I should be's. And so I think I needed to give myself, like, there were times that I'm like, just get up there, go visit with her, it's okay. But there were times that I think I needed to give myself some grace to just like, I don't feel like I have the capacity right now, because a lot of times it was as soon as I would get the younger two to bed and then, or like down for a nap, and I'd have like a minute, like before my oldest came home from school. And that's when I would slow down enough to be like, oh, I should probably do this and this and this for my grandma. So yeah, I think releasing some of the I shoulds and it's a good balance. I think it was also really helpful for me to find little things to get out of the house. I've always been that kind of person as a mom and with little kids too. Like, I think so life-giving for me in that point was meeting some other local moms and just getting out of the house and like the maybe constant needs from upstairs and even like eating at a mall play area or something. It just being able to talk to a mom and let the kids play, and it helped me and saved me.
Totally. Just even removing a mom from her house, right? Like,
Yes.
I feel like I am a different person when I can leave all the things in my four walls behind. I'm more fun. I'm more playful. I'm a little lighter.
Yep.
The same piles of laundry and to-dos and tasks are still there, but they're not as visible. Yeah, getting out, getting your kids out, it's a
Yep.
big deal.
Yeah.
Even though it takes a lot to get all the shoes on and water bottles, yeah, it's worth it. So, with that, then, after, so your parents are moving back to Pittsburgh, retiring. You guys run a TV show. Talk about that for a minute.
This was so funny. I mean, I don't know how this works in heaven, but I'm like, sometimes I feel like Mama was up to this, because it was so wild. Truly, like the day after everybody left for all the family had come into town for her funeral, and the day after, Sam happened to follow Steve and Leanne Ford online, because they were their Pittsburgh brother and sister team who are on HGTV. And he followed them, and they posted a casting call, and it was like, if you're from Pittsburgh, you know that there's no place like home. We are now casting for our third season. We are looking specifically for people who are moving back into a nostalgic home. So they're like, it could be moving back into your parents' home. And we knew at that point that my parents within the next year were going to move up. And so my mom would be moving back into like her childhood home where she was raised. And so we were like, this is our exact.
We fit every one of the boxes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Sam, get out of the way. I was like, we're just gonna apply. Nothing, obviously nothing's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen. I'm like, I'm not even gonna tell my parents because I just have to apply for them. And so I did. And 2 days later, we got a call from a casting director, and they were like, your story stood out so much. So anyway, then we filled my parents in. So yeah, they redid. I mean, and it was such a godsend, especially during COVID. It was 2020, the summer that we filmed, and with all of the like builder hangups and supply chain things, like they came in and they redid basically the main living area, kitchen, dining room. They did a huge art studio for my mom, a library for my dad, who's a retired English teacher. And they did it all in like 8 weeks. And so just to be able to do that, it was so cool. I got my parents to move up here. They were able to move in sooner. It just really made it a special, it was so special for all of us. It was so much fun.
It was so fun to watch that episode. You know, it was fall of 2020, right? You guys were season something number one. It was so fun to see you and Sam and the boys and your folks. I just was so happy for you guys. It's such a cool thing to get to do that.
Yeah, it was. And then it was, my parents were in Nashville at the time. And because of COVID, they didn't want to be traveling all the time. And so they said, we're actually doing a new format for the show this year, and we're hoping to highlight the families and their stories a lot more. So they were like, because your parents are down there, would you and Sam be okay being like the faces for the family? And we were like, oh, I mean, sure.
Sure.
I guess. And so it was just such a fun, bright spot, like thing to look forward to, especially that COVID
Yeah.
first part. Like it was so, and they're like, you're gonna need nine cool outfits to wear. And we're like, okay, we'll do it. So yeah, it was very fun.
So much fun. I love it.
Our sponsor this week is a new ministry called Refill, founded by Ashlyn and Ellie. Here they are to tell us more in their own words.
Hi, I'm Ashlyn.
Hi, I'm Ellie.
And we're excited to offer you a new ministry called Refill. Refill's a gathering of middle school and high school girls with college mentors to be renewed by God's word and then renewed by each other and just grow in community. My inspiration for this was Hebrews 10:25, spur one another on towards love and good deeds and just grow deeper in relationship with God and others and just be able to have a mentor and walk through your relationship with God with them.
Refill is a place to break away from the shallowness of this culture and go deep with God and others who love him. Why Refill? It's because I don't want anyone to discount their identity as a child of God with labels, success rate, or failure.
The reason we want to do Refill is to create an outlet for high school and middle school girls that are longing to know God and walk in the truth and to stand by each other during trials and know that they're not alone.
Thank you, Ashlyn and Ellie. Mark your calendars for their kickoff event, Picnic with a Purpose, on August 13. These gals are meeting through the summer, and they'd love to have your middle school and high school age daughters join them. To find out more, email refill@myyahoo.com. That's refill@myyahoo.com.
Talk about, Christy, the things that bring you joy in the work that you get to do and joy in your motherhood for this season.
Okay. I think joy in my work, I've talked about it a little bit, but I remember when I first had Emmett, our first, and I was like, well, I'm not going to do daycare. That doesn't make sense for us financially. So I got a part-time job doing administrative assistant stuff at our church, mostly from home. And I remember just feeling like, God, what are you going to do with me? Like, I don't know, like, who am I, you know? And I remember just, I would dabble in some cooking things then. Like, I think I catered for super cheap, like random friends' weddings. But it was really fun. And I was like, God, it would be just really cool if I got to do something with food someday, but I really don't want to like own a restaurant and be that, you know, like something that's so demanding. So I just was like, God, what will it be? Like, I love cooking and I love giving food to people. And so it's just really cool to be in this part of it where there's so much fulfillment of things that were in Sam and my hearts for so long. Like, so for me, like, I get to do this fun, creative food thing that is so uniquely like a product that is significant to me and that's kind of different. And then Sam and I both have always loved teenagers and all their awkwardness. So even the fact that like Sam was a high school teacher for years, but even the fact that all of our employees are high school and teenage, and it's like, oh, we still get to be with those kids. And Sam gets to be his own boss. He gets to produce things like he's, you know, always fixing stuff and creating new things. And so there's the fulfillment of so many aspects of like, man, God, you really knew. And thank you so much, because not everybody gets to do something like this, where there's so many more different gifts being used and being used together too. Yeah. So I really love that. And I love, as I said before, I never could have anticipated how cool it is to be part of the community in that way. Like, I really love all the different people I get to meet. And, you know, when parents have kids' birthday parties and they're like, this place is so awesome, we didn't know it was here.
Yeah.
We've had the atypical, like, can we have our wedding reception here? And I'm like, I mean, okay, like, let's get creative.
That would be really fun, actually, for the right person. Oh, fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I that's a really great part. I love all those, like, being able to have a little bit of I guess, hindsight and appreciation for like, man, all those years where I was like, I think I really like this, but I don't know what's going to happen with it. And God's like, well, here's one way we'll use it down the road when you're ready.
Even your years of managing a Starbucks store, right?
Yes.
Like, even that I see coming back into what you're doing now. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I didn't know. Yeah, I think as a mom, I think as my kids get older, I am kind of loving the transition from, when they're little and there's so many needs. And so I think that can kind of get conflated, or at least it did for me, in like their success is equal to how well I'm doing with them. So, because in some ways that's true. Like there are some things like they may be having a good day if I've made sure that like they had a good routine today, or like I was engaging. And but I'm loving now this season of like, oh, they are really their own people. And some of it is from my nurturing and weird influences, and some of it is like, who are you? Where did this come from? For example, our middle son Jonah, he really loves fishing with my husband Sam. But he I and I'm like, maybe it's because he sees me loving to cook. This kid, it is so funny and bizarre. And I'm like, well, maybe God will use it some weird way down the road. His greatest joy is if we go to like a market that has fresh fish, and he's like, Mom, I'm gonna use my allowance to buy that whole fish. And I'm like, Jonah, you don't even like to, what are we gonna do with this?
I don't want to cook that thing for dinner.
I don't know how to do it. So last week we went down. There's a really cool area of Pittsburgh called the Strip District with tons of cool marketplaces. There's a huge fish market. The kid talked me into letting him buy a dead squid. We had to look up, and he's like, Mom, I'm gonna do all of it. Like he's 9, and he's like, I'm gonna do all of it. I'm
I'm in
gonna take the
charge.
skin off. I'm gonna pull out the weird, hard, whatever. So I'm like, I never told him like, hey, you know what's cool? Weird dead fish. And my youngest, he's such a little, he loves every sport. I'm not a super sporty person. He is like a little football bro. Like he's like, he'll ask me football questions. And I'm like, I have no clue. I don't know what a sack is. Like, but he's like, no, Mom, seriously. Like,
Let me
and I'm
tell
like,
you.
we're not, I don't know. It's so funny.
It's so fun to watch your kids become themselves. And to
Yes.
watch them grow into who they were always going to be, you don't get to see it as much when they're little.
Yeah.
I mean, you see some of it, right? Like the snarky 2-year-old, you're like, oh, where did that come from? But then to see them grow into like their wit or their
Yes.
hobbies and the things that they're so good at and the things that bring them delight, it's so fun.
Yeah.
Describe a time when you changed your mind on something.
I think this is going from one to three kids. I having a friend who had picky kids when I just had Emmett, and Emmett was my kid who, we'd like, let's go out for Thai food together. I'll just share my curry with this 1.5-year-old. He will surely eat it. So I remember feeling like, I don't understand kids who are, picky eaters. Like if parents just did a good job of sticking to their boundaries, like this wouldn't be a problem. And then, you have three and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just not gonna. So I think my perspective was like, no, it's not as simple. Like every kid is so different. And it's not as simple as like, nope, this is my boundary. You're just gonna stick to it and you're gonna learn to eat everything, because he really won't. And so it switched from like, okay, how do we still value being at the table together as a family? I will not turn every single dinner at night into a battle zone. It won't be our struggle every night at dinner. We cannot, our family time at the dinner table is way more important than that.
Then making sure everybody eats the same thing, or yeah.
That you have 5 bites, or you clean your plate, or you do this, or time limits. And also, I'm like, I don't want to create power struggles around food. I'm not, we'll do some things, we'll encourage, But I, yeah, anyway, but I think that was a big topic and just a big humbling. But there's a lot of humbling when you go from one kid to multiples.
So much humbling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and what I like about what you're saying is it feels like you're giving Ollie his place of honor. Like you're honoring him in his weird little things.
Yeah.
You're also honoring yourself in that this is what we do as a family. And there's this middle way that can give everybody what they need.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of self-care, right, that's been in the culture for the last whatever number of years, and it's been around longer than that, but I feel like it had like a kind of a crescendo not that long ago. I think it is good for moms to take care of themselves. We all take care of ourselves in different ways, right? We need to take care of ourselves a little bit to take care of all the people that live with us. What does that look like for you to take care of yourself?
It's an ongoing process for me. I think personality-wise, I naturally look for what other people's needs are first.
Yeah.
I'm famous for in like a young mom's group when somebody said, you can't pour out of an empty cup. And I said, watch me.
Yes, I can.
Excuse me.
Watch me try.
But yeah, it's not like I'm not a person who, I mean, I enjoy cooking, but I'm not like someone who's a huge hobby person. And my husband has every hobby under the sun. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's self-care involves removing some comparison of what that should look like. And it's kind of embracing more like letting myself be like, what do I want to do? What would be good? So I love journaling. I love something as simple as like going to a coffee shop. I think friend time is really filling to mm-hmm. my soul. And I'm also at a season where there's more margin to do that. Like mm-hmm. when I was in the young years, time with friends looked like play dates and being interrupted 10,000 times by kids doing things.
But
it's always been, I think, time with friends. It's cooking, it's eating, it's journaling, it's getting out of the house.
Was that a hard thing to ask yourself, you know, coming out of little baby kids into kids that can manage themselves a little more? You have more time, you have more margin. Was it hard to ask yourself the question, what do I want to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel, and a friend of mine and I at church, we actually started a small group for moms of school age kids because we're like, it feels like whenever she and I would get together, our youngest were both in kindergarten that year. And it was like all the same identity things that came up that first when you're really kid free during the day. And that I think was one of the biggest things. It's like, who am I? And like, what do I like? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's such a hard question. And so, yeah, giving myself some grace that like, it doesn't have to look like, well, I go 2 times a week and take a class. Like maybe sometime it will, but it's okay if it's not that. It's okay if, you know, I don't have to compare what self-care looks like for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is the biggest thing causing you challenge and stretching you right now?
I think it is, I mean, I appreciate the season of margin with kids being in school and our business being closed for the season, but it comes with it, which I'm like, this is so like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. This is a really wonderful gift, but that's not helpful to say I shouldn't be having feelings, mm-hmm. but I think I do struggle a lot with like productivity equals purpose and identity. And so I think there's a lot of trying to lean into like, no, seasons of rest are good for a reason. What does it look like to have margin? My gut instinct when I wake up for each day is like, okay, let's make the to-do list. Let's do this. And so like being like, hey, slow down. Like, what are necessities? What mm-hmm. is something that you can add in? Like, is there some quiet that needs to happen in this? Is there, so yeah, but I feel like I grow in it every season, but I think will always be a hard thing for me to to unpack productivity and identity.
Yes, because I feel like similar things. I am my to-do list. And if I get my to-do list accomplished, then I'm a good human. And if I don't get to my to-do list, I'm a failure.
Yes.
I mean, that's ridiculous. We all know that's not true, but there's something inside us that feels that way.
And you would never say that to a friend.
Never.
If your friend said that, you'd be like, you're so much more than that. And then this whole idea of that is even, you know, like just the the continuity of our lives with kids is the to-do list will never be done. So if I'm placing such a huge, like I can have one and I will have one, but, you know, if I'm obsessing over this, it's really going to be upsetting to me that it never, never ends, you know, like it'll really make me feel resentful and spiteful and, you know, yeah.
Yes.
What's some really great advice you've received and what is some really terrible advice that you've received?
I was trying to think, with terrible, I remember being like, when people were like, just sleep when your baby's asleep. And I'm like, don't you tell me that. Like, let me do what I want when my baby's asleep. Sorry, that was just the first thing that came to mind. Maybe it's good for some people, but I'm like, but what happens if what makes me feel like a person is to go like have a cup of coffee during that time? Don't tell me to sleep during that time. That's just a cheesy one. I think good advice recently, I think I've had capacity to be learning a little bit more about like communicating within my marriage and within relationships. And I'm kind of interested in that. And, you know, the dorky people I follow online, like marriage therapists, I'm like, oh, I have some capacity to think about this and we can work on our marriage and improve things. But I think I've really enjoyed the advice recently to, like when your partner is upset about something, to look at their feelings with curiosity rather than just defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And so, cause I can get defensive real quick. So I think I am trying to kind of grow in that, like, okay, like if Sam's feelings are hurt, how can I, whether or not I think it's off base or not, how can I meet that first with some curiosity and some grace? I'm like, well, I want to value your feelings, you know, rather than just like, well, that's dumb. That's not true. I would never do that.
Let's not start there anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that I think I've been stewing around and kind of thinking about a lot recently.
Even with our kids, I feel like that's good advice, right? Just let them have their emotion. Let's just sit with that for a minute. And then let's talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because and I think I do it more so with the kids. Like, you know, like, no, I'm sure that's not what they meant. Like, that's, our middle son is the king of showing his frustration in his story. So there's been so many stories of like, and then I think this kid at recess came out of nowhere. And I know he ran across the field and he was going to try to trip me. And I'm like, okay, well, Jonah, you fell at recess. But anyway, I think it helps sometimes, even though I know there's a lot of exaggerations in there, just to like fully listen and be like, I'm really sorry. You must feel really frustrated about that.
Why do you think it's easier with our kids and not our husbands? Is it because they should be adults and we have a higher standard? Or what do you think on that?
I think maybe it's the roles. So I'm used to with my kids being the caretaker and the nurturer. And I think with my husband, I have the hope and expectation that like, hey, we're a team. Like there's no space for that. Like, you know, or like we need help. We both need to be doing stuff and functioning well, like, which isn't fair. We don't have to function perfectly at all times, but I think it's maybe more the expectation or the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Have you considered homeschooling your child but didn't know if you could do it? Or have you wanted your child to receive a Christian education but discovered it was too expensive? Emerge School in Bozeman offers an affordable, Christ-centered education where teachers partner with the parents. Exceptional Emerge teachers incorporate real-life applications, making education meaningful. Students are taught twice weekly in person, then complete the remaining assigned work at home, allowing them independence and flexibility to explore additional interests. There is limited space, so contact Emerge School now at emergemt.com to learn more. Also, Emerge has a few part-time teaching and paraprofessional positions in the elementary grades. Visit Emerge's website to apply. That's emergemt.com.
What is one thing that you wish you could have done differently?
I don't think it's like a specific life decision, but I've been realizing something about myself is that I'm a very empathetic person. And so I can think of seasons in the past few years where someone I love, like a friend or a family member, has just gone through some tough stuff. And I go beyond just the like thinking about them and praying for them and feeling for them, and I can kind of let it consume me. And so there's been, I think, some patterns where like it'll be months and I'm just stewing and stewing and stewing and like, and what about this? And why are they doing this? Like, especially if people are making some rough decisions and it's hard and sad. And I mean, one time Sam was just like, you are letting these people and just thinking about them and going in circles about them. Like, it's consuming your life. You have, you know, a wonderful life. You have kids and a family and a community. And like, he's like, we need you.
Yeah.
You just getting distracted and spiraling about concerns about other people. So, so I think it's more of like a vague thing, but it's something that I'm trying to become aware of in myself. Like, hey, you are an empathetic, loving person, but when do you let that maybe go too far and consume you?
What's something that you wish you would have known earlier on?
Ooh. I mean, I guess there are the things like the assurances. Maybe I guess I'm like, it's good that I had to have like faith and trust, but like, you know, all the things that you get scared of for your kids, like, oh my gosh, are they going to be like, I think of when each of my kids was getting ready to start kindergarten and I have all the huge lists of like, oh, what about, I remember for some reason with my first being like, what will he know how to get his little tray and go down the lunch line and choose all the things? And so, I don't know. I think about those, like if I could have better trusted God and trusted that like they were ready and they needed this next step and they needed this independence. But I guess, you know, I don't know what that would have changed. Just like, again, how much was I distracting myself on what I, you know, where I could have been spending my mental energy rather than worrying.
Yeah. Cause sometimes you don't know what you don't know until you get there, or you don't know what you wish you would have known.
Yeah.
Right.
What is something that has surprised you about being a mom?
I don't think I could have known just how much, like, just how deep that connection is with my kids. And I don't know, just the evolution of like, you are growing this thing within your body. And then I remember when I first had Emmett and was just trying to, like, I nursed him and it was all the time and every 2 hours on the mark. And I was just like, oh my gosh. But I remember having this moment postpartum then where I was like, I know this little creature better than anybody else in the whole world besides God. Like that moment of like, realizing just how huge that connection was. And I don't think I could have imagined what loving and caring and wrapping up a cute little baby. And I think that same deep, deep maternal connection, and how that, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I even like feel things deeply and more like differently for my kids than my husband does. Not that he doesn't, but I don't know. I think that I couldn't have anticipated how deep that connection was.
Okay, are you ready for the rapid fire though?
Oh my gosh, yes.
All right. Okay, try to answer these questions in a minute or less
Okay.
with a sentence or so.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
What are you reading right now?
I am currently reading a book by Amy Tan called The Valley of Amazement. That's fiction. And then I'm also reading Jenny Allen's, what is it? Get out of your, it's one of, it's a great, get out of your head, get out of your mind. Oh no, which is, anyway, it's great. That's the like, I'm stretching and learning. And then the Amy Tan book is a fiction.
Fun.
It's good. Yeah.
What's the first thing you do in the morning?
I feel like in the mornings I get up and I just do the kid routine. So I let the dog out, make the coffee, wake up the middle schooler who has to catch the bus at 6:50. So it's just kind of all the repetitive things. But a fun thing I've been doing is the oldest goes off to the bus at 6:50, and then the littles don't get out to the bus till after 8. And so my 7-year-old wakes up before his older brother, and he wants to play a little game with me every morning, which sometimes I'm like, I want my coffee, I don't want this, but now I've given into it, and it's really kind of a sweet.
Oh, that is sweet. What games are you playing?
Like he wants to play Candyland,
Oh, fun.
ladders. We have a little card game called Taco versus Burrito. Just quick, like 15, 20 minutes. I've learned to like it a lot.
I know. Josie's been coming downstairs to snuggle on the couch. She's currently reading a book about George Washington, and I'm like, we are not keeping up with our schedule. And so she'll come down and snuggle on the couch for PJs and read
For like even just 10 minutes.
while everybody's running around getting ready, and then she gets ready. And yeah, those little moments are just the best. They really are.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you do at night?
We are now becoming real adults. We used to always, Sam and I used to always watch in bed some 20-minute comedy, like The Office, Parks and Rec. But Sam was like, let's be real adults. And he's like, let's try reading before bed. So now on weeknights, we read before bed.
How adult of you.
We're very adult.
What is saving the day right now?
Oh,
One thing that just makes your day go better.
looking forward to my afternoon cup of coffee. That is solely mine, and there are no kids, and it's just cold, and I have a hot cup of coffee, and it's great.
What is something that people get wrong about you?
That I am a pushover. I'm a people pleaser, but I'm not necessarily a pushover.
I think that's true. You are not a pushover.
Thank you.
You aren't.
At least
You
I'm
are
trying.
very
empathetic and kind and generous, but I would never. I just must know you maybe better than some people at.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristen.
You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What's the first thing you do?
Oh, snap at kids to clean things up. I think a good thing would probably be to like take a couple breaths and think about like what's the truth in what I'm feeling right now. Like I'm learning to see moments of resentment and frustration as like, hey, this is a red flag that maybe you aren't saying what your needs are. So, yes, in an ideal world, I'm slowing down and trying to think about what I truly need and I'm feeling.
Describe an ordinary, everyday moment that brings you joy.
My mom and I, in this slower season, my mom works from home. She's an artist, but she lives upstairs. And we kind of in the winter, not the other times of the year, but in the winter, we have our afternoon coffee if we're available, and we play a game together for half an hour. And then she's like,
Oh.
okay, I got to get back to painting. And I'm like, okay, the kids are almost home from school. But my mom and I have been randomly playing a game called Azul, like most weekdays at 2 o'clock.
Oh, that is lovely.
It's odd, but it's great.
Coffee with Vicky at 2 p.m.
Yes. Yes.
That's a good one.
Any last words? Anything we forgot to talk about?
I think a lot when, like, I love the idea of the ordinary being extraordinary. I think I've been thinking a lot too about, just as moms, how comparison is so rough, and it's something that I'm trying to grow in. There's someone really cute online whose name is Emily Vondi, and I think she's like a mom of five. She does really
She's
cute little
funny.
songs. She's hysterical, but she multiple times is like, hey guys, I think she has a cute little song and whiteboard, but she's like, don't compare your areas of grow to someone else's areas of flow. So it's very cutesy, but I think a lot, or I have to think a lot about, like, hey, just because that's someone else's gift or something that just they love doing it that way does not mean that I'm a failure, because I have different areas of interest and growth. And so I think that's something I've been thinking a lot about in my motherhood season. And,
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for telling your stories.
Thanks for
Taking time to sit with me and chat. I loved it.
It was so, I'm so excited for this mission for you. I think it's a really beautiful thing and so needed. And you're very easy to talk to. And I know if we were in
Oh.
person, there would be like a custom app waiting for me.
Probably. Yep.
Yeah. Some fun snacks, and I would, it would be great.
We'll meet in Nebraska one of these days.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Kristen.
A huge thank you to my guests for taking time out of their busy lives to sit for a conversation with me. It's a delight, joy, and privilege to have you join me. The Mostly Mom podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thanks for listening.